Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Miles Away. Today we are talking about Oktoberfest. And today we have a very special guest. We have Molly Fergus, who's the general manager of TripSavvy with us today. Welcome, Molly.
Thank you, Zach. Happy to be here.
Can you tell me a little bit about your website, TripSavvy?
Sure. So TripSavvy is a travel advice website. We reach almost 10 million U.S. readers every single month. And we publish travel guides to the best destinations all across the world. Our writers are based in the cities and countries that they cover and offer really in-depth content for you to help you plan your vacation.
So Molly and I go way back. Before my journalism career to, I think, our summer welcome before freshman year of college. Is that right?
I believe so. I wasn't even old enough to get a credit card then. I think I was 17.
Oh, my God. I just barely was. I think I just got in the American Airlines credit card.
Yes.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, oh, I really want to get this card. But one of the things I used my miles for was trips to Europe. And I never actually made it to Oktoberfest. But, you know, I know some of our friends that studied abroad did. When was the first time that you went?
I went for the first time in 2015, actually. So not while studying abroad, as an adult. I decided I'm going to do this trip and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. What brought you to Munich that time?
We had some friends running the Berlin Marathon. So I went and cheered on my now husband and a bunch of friends running that. And then the Berlin Marathon aligns with Oktoberfest. So we drove from Berlin after the race and went to Oktoberfest in Munich. It's about a 6-hour drive because you figure while you're there, if you're there at that time, you have to experience it.
Oh, yeah. What was it like for your first time? And I mean, you're going back this year, right?
I am going back, so it must have been good. When I thought of Oktoberfest, I pictured sort of a beer hall in the U.S., like on steroids, and maybe some tents that are set up like maybe for a wedding with dirt floors. But it is way above and beyond that. These tents are spectacular. They are full-fledged semi-permanent structures with steel I-beams and wooden floors. Some of them seat almost 10,000 people.
Oh my God, in one tent.
In one tent, all drinking liters of beer and only liters of beer. That is all you can drink. So it's really just sort of magical and something you have to sort of experience to understand.
Mm-hmm. And there's a dedicated venue for Oktoberfest, right? So is it in kind of the center of Munich or is it in a different part of town?
It's just outside the center. So you could walk there from the center of Munich or take a quick cab ride. There were pedicabs, I know, going back and forth as well. But they're the fest grounds. It's designated on the map. So when you look, you'll see sort of a big open area and it says Bavaria Strasse, I think, is the ring that goes around that area. And so the fest grounds are there all year long. And I think they actually start setting up these tents in the summer. So well ahead of the fest, you can even go and take a look and see the tents.
Obviously, drinking beer specifically is a
sure
big component of Oktoberfest. But what else is there to do? Is it just drinking all day and night, or are there other activities?
It depends on your style. You certainly could do that, but it's actually a huge carnival. So when you go, that was the one thing that really surprised me, is there's a giant roller coaster set up, there's swings, there's tons of games. I mean, you could spend all day just sort of having fun with that too. And then listening to the live music and bobbing around and people watching is really, really fun.
Is there a lot of food? Is it just like a big food and drink fest?
Yes, mm-hmm. There's tons of food, a lot of Bavarian specialties. You'll see these roast chickens everywhere that are truly delicious. It sounds sort of boring, like whatever, we've all had a roast chicken, but they're so, so good, really juicy, roasting on a spit. There's tons of pretzels, of course. There's great cheese spreads. There's different grilled fish. You could eat your way around the fest.
How does the Oktoberfest experience kind of compare to a state fair? So if someone's been to a state fair in the U.S., is it similar in a way with a lot more beer?
It's more organized and more structured. You know, again, these tents are all built and they're all decorated differently. They're really, really beautiful. So you have definitely that fair element with the stands and the food, but then I would say a little more a culture and a little more pomp and circumstance behind it all.
Can you walk us through just very quickly the kind of the history and the cultural background of Oktoberfest?
Sure. So Oktoberfest actually started as a celebration for, I believe, King Ludwig I's wedding. And it was a big wedding celebration. They had a great party, and they had such a good time that they decided to repeat this party every year. And then they moved it back to September instead of actually October. Legend has it, and I've heard because the weather was just nicer.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. It does overlap with October, just a very, very
couple
briefly
days. Yeah.
What are the dates this year?
So it's September 21st through October 6th. Okay. So you do get a full week in October this year.
What, you know, should you be there for the first weekend? Is that kind of the most exciting time to go?
That's certainly a great time to go. It's when they tap the keg. There's one tent shot in Hamel. I don't know if I said that right. I probably definitely didn't. But they tap the keg in there historically every single year, and no other tents can serve beer until they've tapped the keg in that tent. That
oh,
kicks
okay.
off the whole party.
Okay. So what, you have to get there early in the morning for the keg tapping?
I think it's at noon, so not that early.
Oh,
but
got it. Okay. What are the general age ranges of people that go to Oktoberfest?
All ages. I mean, truly, like, children to very elderly people.
Really? Okay.
All depending. And it's going to vary depending on time of day. So if you're there around lunchtime, you're going to see a lot of middle age. This is when you maybe see some of the more elderly people hanging out and having lunch. But then as you get toward the evening, it's younger people. The crowd gets a little more rowdy as the evening goes on, as you might expect.
Do you see families in the tents as well, or are they
absolutely.
Kind of hanging out on the amusement rides?
No, absolutely. You see families in the tents as well, but then they're on the amusement park rides, they're playing games, they're participating in the fest. It's a festival.
How do the logistics work? Because I know that you said that you've reserved a couple tents, specific tents, already for this coming Oktoberfest.
Yes. So some of the tents fill up really quickly. Hofbrauhaus is one that's really famous that can book up to a year in advance even. So you can go and look up the 14 tents. There are 14 every year. And on the Oktoberfest website, you can find contact information for each of them. Every tent is owned by a different brewery, and they only sell their own beer, and it is typically specially brewed for the festival. So you can only get this beer at this festival every year. And you can email them and ask for reservations. Every tent has sort of a different policy. I know that one tent we're going to didn't require any cash up front, so we just have a reservation for 20 people with my name on it. Another one, you have to purchase a drink and food package, basically. So you pay 37 euros and you get 2 liters and a roast chicken, one of those delicious roast chickens.
Oh, okay.
I mentioned.
When I think of Oktoberfest, I definitely think of the, you know, the traditional outfits, I guess, that both men and women wear, right?
Yes. Yes.
Is that, you get all dressed up? Or
You can. So you don't have to, but it's certainly adds to the festiveness of it. I recommend it. What I do not recommend is buying the fake stuff. So we made the big mistake of buying these costumes in Berlin. And Berlin is very different from Munich. They're very different parts of Germany. And we just went into a costume shop and I bought my dirndl and a couple of my friends bought their lederhosen. My dirndl was mostly passable, but my husband and one of our good friends were wearing fake lederhosen. And I say fake because lederhosen are really, really nice leather pants. They're embroidered. They're really beautiful, well-constructed. What they were wearing were like that felt fake leather, right? So it didn't even look, I mean, it was really, really different from what a real lederhosen should look like.
It's like a Halloween costume you might wear in the States.
Exactly, exactly. And they were approached by two lovely Bavarian women, came up and sort of said, oh, could we get a picture with you? And then took a photo and then started giggling and walked away. So don't do that.
Oh my God.
You can do, if you don't want to splurge on leather pants, which is completely fair, is actually rent these costumes in town. So there's a few different places that provide it. It's usually around 40 or 50 euro per day for the whole getup. So
okay.
Shoes, suspenders, pants, the whole deal.
So you said it's about 37 euro for, you get the 2 beer, chicken, and your seat reservation. So
yes.
If say you do a couple days of that, a couple days of an outfit, it's a, I guess, a pretty affordable, you know, weekend potentially.
Yeah.
Where do the big expenses come in?
So your big expenses on the ground for sure is your hotel. So as you can imagine, Munich is not the biggest city in the world, and it fills up really, really quickly, and prices get expensive for the fest.
Let's talk a little bit about the atmosphere in the tent.
Sure.
So, I mean, you see the pictures, and I've seen maybe a few videos, but like, what's it like all day?
It's really fun and sort of progresses throughout the day. So both time, or when I've gone to both of the tents, I had an 11:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. reservation. So you can imagine, you get in, people are getting lunch, they're getting their first beers, it's a little quieter. As the music starts playing and the beers start flowing, it becomes rowdier and people are definitely dancing on the tables. There's usually a live band. We found that in the afternoons, the bands were playing more traditional music, and then as the night went on for the evening sessions, you got into some more rock and pop music. So
okay.
You have to be prepared for some drinking songs and chants. That is a requirement, and you will not leave without hearing the song Ein Prosit, which is perhaps the most famous Oktoberfest song.
Can we give it a verse here?
Ein Prosit, Ein Prosit.
Okay.
It really just means drink. Yeah. That's all it is, and they play it seemingly progressively faster as the day goes on.
Do you interact with the locals and, you know, the German visitors? And, I mean, is everybody just kind of having a great time together? Or you stick to your own groups, just whatever you prefer?
It's whatever you prefer. I found you end up talking to people for sure. You know, the first time I went, we had one German speaker with us, so that definitely facilitated the conversations for us. But, yeah, it's just a festive atmosphere. People are just happy.
Who would you not recommend Oktoberfest for? I mean, obviously, you said families and kids go, so it sounds like it's, you know, friendly to non-drinkers as well.
Sure. If you don't love crowds, you probably don't want to go to Oktoberfest. It's, you know, there's an element of theme parkness to it, right? There's a carnival grounds, there's fairgrounds, you're going to be dealing with a lot of other people. So if that's not your scene, you probably don't want to go. Even if you're not a big drinker, go for one day and see the spectacle. And if you don't like to drink or don't think you want to spend all day at the tent, you don't have to get a reservation. You could just go walk around. There's beer gardens, you can sit outside, just spend an hour or two there sort of soaking up the atmosphere.
Can you get into the tents if you don't have a reservation far in advance? Or
sometimes. So it just depends. Okay. And especially those weekday afternoons, you're a lot more likely. If there's a table, they're going to let you in. They will make everyone leave at 4 p.m. when the next set of reservations start for the evening, though.
So just be prepared for that. So what else do you do in Munich during Oktoberfest? I mean, are you really focused on the event? Do you kind of take a break before or after the going to one of the tents?
You could do it a few ways. We were focused on the tents when we were there. So we did 2 days in the tents, and then we were kind of wiped out from that. But you can definitely do sightseeing. You can walk and see the Glockenspiel. You can go to Hofbräuhaus
as
well.
Is that a clock?
That is a clock in the center of town. And a really elaborate, kind of incredible cuckoo clock. You can go to the original Hofbräuhaus, not the tent, but the actual beer hall. That's something to do and see. It is similar in atmosphere to Oktoberfest. It's what all the chains are based around. So, you know, there's Hofbräuhauses kind of everywhere now. So that's the original one.
So you booked your reservations for the daytime slots for both tents?
Yes, we did.
Why do you do that instead of the evenings?
Evenings fill up. And so there's a little bit of seniority we found with this. So if you've booked in the tent in the past, then you're more likely to get a good slot the next year. But this is only our second time, so we didn't get the premiere.
Okay, so like Fergus sounds familiar, but not too familiar.
Exactly,
so here's a daytime
yes.
slot for you. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to dig into your flight and hotel options to get to Oktoberfest.
Excellent.
So, Molly, how are you booking your trip this year to get out there?
So this year to get out there, we're actually flying in and out of Paris. So we didn't use points for that. We were able to find a really cheap fare. So we just purchased that, and then we're taking a train from Paris. But in the past, I've used points with Air Berlin, which is now defunct.
Air
Berlin option, but that was a nice option a few years ago. And then I know United has flights. You could even fly in to Zurich, I was looking, and that's only a three-hour train ride. It's nice that Munich's really centrally located.
How long is the train from Paris?
From Paris, it's about 5 hours.
Okay. Do you need to book your tickets in advance, or you just kind of show up at the station and you're good to go?
You could book them in a little bit in advance, but I looked right now, and it was still too soon for us to purchase them.
So if you can't find availability to Munich specifically, you know, consider another, you know, like Paris, Zurich.
Vienna is not too far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so it might even make sense to pair your Munich trip with, you know, another European city.
Yep, absolutely.
And so because it's the fall, you shouldn't have too much trouble finding, you know, a word availability, I would say.
Right.
It is kind of a business travel season after the, you know, the slower summer. Business travel picks up again. But, you know, especially in economy, there should be decent availability. If you can't find flights to Munich, you can connect in Frankfurt potentially if you're booking, you know, Lufthansa with Star Alliance miles. Can connect in Geneva or Zurich. It sounds like you can actually fly into Zurich and then take a train.
Yep.
Maybe explore a little bit of Switzerland on your way to Munich. Paris sounds like a decent option as well.
Yeah.
And then for hotels, there's a couple that are close to the fairgrounds, right?
Yes. So there's a Hilton and a Sheraton that are both about a mile away from the fairgrounds. And as you might expect, getting cabs can be sort of tricky at a really busy event like that. So being within walking distance is a huge benefit.
What's the weather like generally this time of year? What was your experience?
It was lovely September weather. So chilly at night. You do want a jacket and, you know, something to warm up to, but nice, crisp fall.
Okay. Because we've identified a couple hotels that do have award availability. The cash rates are pretty high, but you said they're about a mile away or so?
Yeah, when I was looking at both of those on Google Maps.
So, you know, maybe a 15-20 minute walk, which isn't terrible at all. There's the Sheraton West Park. So there's a few Marriott properties, but the Sheraton West Park is probably the closest to the fairgrounds.
Yes, with availability that I've seen right now.
And the cash rates are in the $500 range, which is very steep, I would say, for a Sheraton in Munich. I wouldn't be surprised to see it maybe in the, you know, closer to $100, $150, you know.
Other times of the year.
Exactly. But you can redeem 25,000 points per night for a stay there. So
right.
I would definitely go that route for sure. And then there's a Hilton as well, the Hilton Munich Park, I think, is the one that's closest by.
Yes.
And the cash rates are like 350 or so there, or 70,000 Hilton points.
Right.
Obviously, of those two options, I think you're going to do a little bit better with that 25,000 redemption for the Sheraton.
Yes. And if you're thinking about going at all, it's worth just booking a room right now because they do fill up. People end up camping. They get tiny little Airbnbs. I mean, the city really fills up.
You know, in general, if points reservations are cancelable up until, you know, a day or two before arrival. So
Right. Makes
sense to lock in that space now. You know, if you have elite status and you can cancel and redeposit an award, even if you're not 100% sure, you're going to, you know, be able to book a tent or go to Oktoberfest this year. I would start thinking about it and get your bookings in.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Molly. If someone wants to follow along in your adventures, where can they find you on social media?
So I'm on Instagram at Molly Fergus, and then TripSavvy is also on Instagram at TripSavvy.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Safe travels.
Thank you. You too.
That's it for this episode of Miles Away. Thanks again to Molly Fergus, General Manager of TripSavvy. Again, I am your host, Zach Honig. This episode was produced by Margaret Kelly and Caroline Chagrin. Our music is by Alex Schiff. If you've been enjoying Miles Away so far, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you choose to listen.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.